Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome back to the Blitz podcast on the eve of election night, which you'll probably be listening to this on election day. We are back after having 200 episodes in the books. And of course, that means I'm back with Harley. Harley, how's it going?
You know, it was a very, very lengthy week, 200 for us. And as such, needless to say, all that last minute campaigning this week, getting ready for election day, this old man is a little bit stiff.
Yeah, I'm a little tired, a little beat down. So yesterday, I felt like I aged probably 63 years or something like that, watching the last 10 minutes of the Eagles game. I'm biased on this, but I feel fortunate that we got a win. But as they say, a win is a win is a win, right? I don't know how we didn't lose that game at the end. I don't know how the Cowboys didn't win it, but I'm far from, you know, being biased on this. But I can just tell you, it took ages off of me. Then I got to look at the fact that I put on a brisket on my smoker for the very first time ever. I've never done one before. I put it on at 6:30. I was up at like 5:30, you know. So it was a long day from that. And the brisket was only like 6.5 pounds. So I was expecting it to be done by like, you know, between 12:30 and 2:30-ish. It didn't get done until 5:30, which also took years off my life. So it was just a very long and draining day. But hey, it could have been worse. It could have been all that.
Could have not had daylight savings time.
Could have not had daylight savings time. It could have been all that. Plus, I could have been a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, no, obviously, I got up bright and early on Sunday to watch the Chiefs in Germany, and they made it a little closer than I would have liked as well. But all I got to say is it felt really good to see Tyreek Hill score one more touchdown for the Chiefs.
There you go. yeah. I don't even have a comeback for that. You're right. You caught me off guard with that one.
Thank you.
In any event, since we are, I said this to my wife tonight. I said, you know what? I'm so ecstatic that tomorrow is election day. She's like, why? I said, no more commercials. She goes, yeah, for at least another 6 months. And then the presidential one started. I was like, well, I'll wait.
I was going to say probably for another 2 or 3 weeks until we start seeing the presidential
one. Yeah, I was going to say it could be another 6 hours for all we know, right?
Yeah.
But in any event.
But they'll be coming up as soon as they announce the election results tomorrow night. You'll be seeing in the commercial break immediately following that.
Yeah, exactly. But in any event, this week what we're going to talk about is we're, of course, going to have our normal DFS stuff, pay up, stay aways, value plays. And then the other segment we are going to have, we're going to have commentary on an election. That's all I'm going to say till we get there. We're going to tease it. We're going to make people have to stay on. And before any of that happens, I can't help it, but I've got to throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. Daniel Jones returned from his serious neck injury only to exit last week's contest with a season-ending knee injury. With Tyrod Taylor also out indefinitely with a rib and chest injury, Tommy DeVito was forced into action again. After the game, when asked about the quarterback situation going forward, Brian Daboll asked the news media in return if anyone had Eli Manning's phone number. The Vikings' third-string quarterback Jaren Hall was knocked out of last week's game with a concussion. He was replaced immediately by Joshua Dobbs, who the team had just acquired 5 days earlier at the trade deadline. Surprisingly, Dobbs led the Vikings to a victory over the Falcons. When asked about picking up the Vikings playbook in that short of time, Dobbs said it doesn't take a rocket scientist to learn a playbook. However, Dobbs is in fact a rocket scientist, so I guess in this case, it does take a rocket scientist to learn a playbook. C.J. Stroud set an NFL record for rookies with 470 passing yards against Tampa Bay. What makes this so impressive is that it was nearly as many passing yards as Bryce Young, Clayton Tune, Tommy DeVito, and Jaren Hall combined together. Despite being nothing more than a fantasy prognosticator and news reporter, I am taking full credit for this massive game, as I benched Stroud for Gardner Minshew in my longest-running redraft-based league. This comes on the heels of me benching DeAndre Hopkins in that very same league versus A.J. Terrell in Will Levis's first career start the prior week. Next week, I will be benching Najee Harris in that league. You know what to do, Fantasy Hive. Houston backup running back Dare Ogunbowale became the first non-kicker to make a field goal since Wes Welker back in 2004. Ogunbowale also handled all of the second-half kickoffs, as their regular field goal kicker, Kaimi Fairbairn, injured his quad in the first half. This raises a pertinent question for me. Why didn't the punter handle the kickoffs and field goal attempts? Cameron Johnston, the punter, is a six-year veteran who played his college ball at Big Ten powerhouse Ohio State, and at one time he was actually a professional Aussie rules football player. Oh, in addition, he's also averaged over 47 yards per punt for his career. You would assume that he would be capable and arguably more reliable than trusting the game to a backup running back who hadn't attempted a field goal since high school. I mean, what happened? Did Arthur Smith suddenly take control as the special teams coach for the Texans? And finally, speaking of Arthur Smith, yesterday he found out that it was No Shave November. So, of course, Mr. Smith shaved his mustache. I think at this point, someone needs to tell him that this is No Quit Your Job November and see what he does next. This has been your BPN News Update.
You found a way to get him in twice.
I wanted an excuse to put him in all five news bits if I could, but I just couldn't go there.
Goodness. Well, man, you know, I saw that he shaved, and I didn't even put two and two together. But you're so right. Like, my God. Some people...
How out of touch is he?
some people can't get out of their own way, I guess, as they would say.
He was actually trending on Twitter today being Monday, the day after. Basically, everyone's posting what reason there would be, like, what type of coach he is, like, throwing out the most obnoxious possible things that someone might do. And that's what Arthur Smith was coach.
You know what? So we already know how he coaches Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts. Imagine if they would have taken Jalen Carter in the draft. Could you see Jalen Carter lined up as a safety?
Nickel, you could probably put him in at offensive tackle.
Nickel slot corner maybe? I don't know. It's, you know what? We probably should have picked two coaches. I should have put two coaches in our elections, actually. We'll add that. We're going to spitball this as we go. Let's get into this segment. The idea is that I took and put together a list of the top two at each position through 9 weeks, excluding the LA Chargers and the New York Jets, because we looked and barring even massively huge games, they're still not going to overtake any of these guys. So, at quarterback, we have Josh Allen running for quarterback office. And he is being opposed by a quarterback operating on one leg, still beating the Dallas Cowboys, Jalen Hurts. I'm going to run down all the positions first.
Go ahead. I was going to make a commentary there, but I'll let you run down.
Okay. At running back on the ballot, we have an incumbent that I believe is probably by far the favorite, and his name is Christian McCaffrey. Opposing Christian is Raheem Mostert. However, in this runoff, we also have an independent that is on the ballot, and that is Travis Etienne. At wide receiver, somebody you mentioned earlier in the news, or no, maybe it wasn't the news, maybe it was before the news. I don't remember now. But it is Tyreek. I used to be a Chief Hill. We'll have to see how the heartland goes with Mr. Hill now that he's down in sunny Florida. And he's being opposed by A.J. Brown, who had a pretty poor week this week, Brown-wise, with his campaigning, having not eclipsed over 125 yards for the first time in who knows how long. At tight end, another incumbent that's probably going to be very hard to beat, Travis Taylor Kelce. Or is it Travis Swift Kelce? I forget. But it's Travis Kelce. Being opposed by, and you know, he lost his campaign manager, so this is probably going to be a hard hill for him to climb, but it's TJ Hockenson. And we also have a late entry that's going to run as an independent in this one, and that's Mark Andrews. And then we've got one last election. We're going to elect a Speaker of the House. And that's going to be made up of a lot of these guys that wanted to run on a ballot but just fell a little short. So at quarterback, we have Pat Mahomes. At running back, Josh Jacobs. At wide receiver, we have the outspoken Stephon Diggs. And then rounding it out, we've got a rookie, a guy that doesn't have much experience but hopefully has a lot to offer, Sam Laporta. Now we can head back to quarterback, and you can comment.
Yes. So I am of the strong belief that it's going to be neck and neck right until the final day in terms of voting for these two, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. The big thing, though, is that once we get close to the deadline, the point when they're going to close the ballots for the night, I can expect a strong push for Jalen Hurts to get him over the line.
I like that. I like that. A little brotherly shove to get him across. So you're going to go with Jalen Hurts is going to be the top dog at the end over Josh Allen?
Well, and again, depending on how voting goes, and if we do get some illegal voting in this particular election, we might see a small push from Josh Allen, because we all know that Buffalo have a lot of fans up in Toronto. So if we get some of those Canadian immigrants coming down here to the States and voting illegally, you might see a slight push for him there. But, yeah, again, I think being that he's from Philadelphia, it's kind of the birthplace of our democracy. I have to put my money on Jalen Hurts.
All right. We're going to give Jalen Hurts a check mark. You know, who's the guy in the khakis that does the whiteboard? They got him in to do the playoffs this past year. I truly can't remember his name. We should have got him on the show this week.
I was going to say either that or the guy who does the 460 or whatever .com.
Oh, Nate Silver.
However many electoral votes you need or whatever.
Yeah, I know who you mean. No, we won't go his route. But, yeah, I can't remember the guy's name. I'm sure all our listeners, or one listener at least, is going, oh, it's this guy. I really can't. I can see him. I can visualize him. But that doesn't do any good when you're on the radio, right? Or on a podcast. All right, so we're going – Jalen Hurts is going – is getting the early check mark, and we'll check back in around week 18 to see what's up and see if he holds on to that check mark. Let's go over to running back. Christian McCaffrey, huge favorite, right? It seems like he's been the man for quite some time, got laid up a few times here and there throughout his career, but he's always produced.
It comes to receiving votes,
yeah,
there's nobody that receives quite as many votes as Christian McCaffrey. And to think that anyone is going to pass him in terms of receiving votes, I don't see that happening.
Here's a question. Raheem Mostert, normally backup, unbelievable. I was shocked to see him as high as he is. We've got Devon Achan, I don't know if I said his first name right, who's coming back at some point and will eat into Mostert's carries and points. And then you have ATN. Here's a question. Will CMC hold on and win outright? Of course, I think that's where we're leaning. But will he still garner more and receive more votes than Mostert and ATN combined?
I think you will. And again, just looking at Mostert in particular to start, Mostert is going to split a lot of his votes with Achan, which is going to ultimately end up with neither of them getting enough votes to reach the majority necessary to catch Mr. McCaffrey. Now, as for ATN, he is kind of a new player in the political spectrum. He is coming from Florida, and we know there's some pretty interesting candidates that come out of Florida sometimes. Obviously, they're very devout in their support of their own state's candidates. Obviously, he'll be all for the no state tax, which will be very, very big down there for him, as well as the other Jacksonville Jaguar fans. But it's McCaffrey's gig to lose, and it doesn't even matter that he's in a high tax state. But I think that he's going to walk away with the election, mainly because he just keeps scoring every single week. He keeps scoring, and you can't beat that consistency.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy that could have been a write-in had he not missed the first 3 weeks of the season. The only other guy that's averaging over 20, well, other than Achan, because he's only played four games, that's averaging more than 20 fantasy points per game. And that's Alvin Kamara, believe it or not. But I'm with you. I think that CMC runs away with this. And I don't even think he needs to finish the year. I think if we get another 4 weeks of production like we've had from him, that could seal the deal for him.
And I think in the case of Kamara, you got to look at all the legal troubles. I mean, he's getting attacked from the left and the right in terms of his legal history. And I mean, his choice of running mate, Taysom Hill, is really kind of stealing some of the press from him there.
That's very well put. Very well put. And you know what? The people listening to this have no idea. We didn't prep any of this. I just told you I had a list, and you're running with it, and you're doing a fantastic job. We might be able to get you something on one of the news channels. I don't know. We'll see. Let's go on over to the wide receiver spot. This one tends to be a little more diva-ish usually, right? You get some candidates that just – it seems like they're more about bravado than actual substance sometimes. But with these two guys, I think you got a little bit of both. You've got Tyreek Hill. He's fast, and he's hard to catch. So he's currently in the lead. You got a guy like A.J. Brown. He's a bull. Will A.J. Brown catch Tyreek Hill? What do we see? How do we see this playing out?
I really don't think that Brown will be able to catch Hill, even though I'm sure that the push to get Hurts across the line, there'll be a lot of people going out there to vote for Hurts who also cast their vote for Brown. But Hill, every time he breaks free and starts to move the ticket a little bit further, you look at him, he's constantly looking for peace. And with all the wars and strife going around across the world right now, you just kind of want to see that peace. And the nice thing about Hill is he doesn't even care if he's forced to pay fines for calling for peace. He's going to keep calling for peace. And I think that's going to win over his fan base, get him elected.
You know, the other thing that I'll say, that I think Tariq has set himself up with a nice little cushion too, because he technically has a 1 week lead points wide, and both guys have played the same number of games, and both are on a bye this week. So I look for them to both be kind of loading up for Bear to try and get their campaigns across the finish line. But I'm with you. I think that Tyreek eventually runs away with it.
And I think another thing he has going for him is there's been a lot of talk recently about people who are lifetime appointees in positions in government. And it's nice to see that Tyreek Hill has come out and said that he's going to be a one-term president only. He's only going to run for the one term and retire after 4 years. I think that a lot of people are looking at that like this is more citizen government.
Okay, fair enough. At the end of the day, I just think it comes down to he's got speed, man. It's going to be hard to catch in a race that he's getting a lead.
But I hear he's a bit of a cheater, too.
Yeah, I mean, that could scare some people away. You never know. Pretty good. Well done. All right, we're going to go over to one of our other races. It looks like it probably doesn't even need much talk about it because, man, the incumbent has just obliterated the position for year after year after year. There was a point where I remember we weren't sure how to pronounce his name on this show, Kels. Then we were calling him Bronkowski, as baby Gronk in a sense. Man, he may have surpassed Gronk. He might even beat Gronk if Gronk was on the ballot. But Travis Kelce, not Taylor Swift withstanding, versus TJ Hockenson, who, again, like I said earlier, he lost his campaign director in Kirk Cousins. And then we've got an independent running, Mark Andrews. What's it look like?
This is Kelsey's race to lose, and I don't think he's going to lose it. The big thing he has going for him here is that, unlike previous seasons, he is really starting to win over the young female vote, and that young female vote is going to be what's going to push him across into the title this weekend. And when you look at it, it's like you look at a guy like Hockenson. Yes, he looks like he should be a Viking. He's got the long flowing manes, but he's hurt right now, and his being hurt is going to hurt his chances as we get closer and closer to Election Day. Now, it also doesn't help, like you said, he lost his campaign manager. He also lost his the backup campaign manager now in Jaron Hall. So they're going to be very shorthanded in that passing game. He's going to be involved because Joshua Dobbs likes to throw to the tight end position. But I just don't see him having any chance of catching Kelsey in the open field. Mark Andrews is the guy who could conceivably make a dent into Kelsey's numbers. But again, with the addition of all the Swifties backing up Kelsey this year, it's his election to lose, and I don't think he's going to lose it. Now, the only way he could lose it is if all of a sudden we get a release in the next 24 hours of a breakup song from Taylor Swift.
There you go. And I will say that Andrews is about one game back of Kelsey at this point. Both have missed a game, not because of their bye. Both missed week one, believe it or not. So they each have a bye. Kelsey has his this week. So Andrews could look like he's going to pull up and possibly in front with a very good week. Got a tough matchup against those Browns. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I'm with you. I think it's Kelsey's race to lose. And I think that at the end of the day, we wind up seeing him pull away and take this one in going away fashion. Now, to recap those top four items on the ballot. At quarterback, Jalen Hurts is getting the check mark over the current leader in the clubhouse, Josh Allen. I agree with that, Harley. CMC, overwhelmingly the favorite to continue on his trek to wiping up the floor with both Mostert and ATN, even if you combine them together. At wide receiver, Tyreek Hill versus A.J. Brown. Hill's getting the check mark. He better not miss any time. And the peace sign. The check and a peace sign. At the end of the day, he better not miss any time. Can't get complacent, think that he doesn't have to hit it all the time on the trail, because if that happens, A.J. Brown could overtake him. But I'm with you. I'll give the check mark to Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce and his Swifters. Should I call them Swifters or Swifties? I don't know. For football, I think we should call them Swifters.
Swifties, yes.
They're Swifties. Swifters
means you're sweeping something up.
Well, there you go. He's going to sweep the floor with his competition. So Travis Kelce gets the nod there. And now for what I think is going to be one of the more fun races, we've got a little bit of something for everybody in this one. Speaker of the House. I mean, they always say that there's, you know, second place doesn't matter. These guys are third place, and I still think they're going to wind up in a good spot. You got Pat Mahomes, Stefon Diggs, Josh Jacobs, and Sam Laporta. Now, the problem is, it's hard to compare these guys against each other points-wise because their positions all score differently. So that doesn't mean that just because Pat's going to score more points than Sam, that Sam's not the one that's going to win this. So give us a breakdown on how you see this happening.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of people were hoping that Patrick Mahomes might have run for the quarterback position presidency, but he got off to a slow start this season. He had a couple of bad performances. And realistically, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, He's never been one to be very outspoken. He doesn't speak a whole lot on the outside because he puts his speaking together on the field. Now, of course, I think part of that comes from growing up alongside Jackson, who was really the spokesperson of that family. So, and now he's in a situation, his wife, Brittany, two kids at home. He's kind of become that family man. And I just don't think that he's going to have the time to devote to the Speaker of the House position. Now, the second person you brought up was a running back, correct?
It was Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs. You know, he is getting kind of long in the tooth, and I don't think that the people want another old person to be elected to a position of power, particularly not to a speaker position. He was very outspoken at the start of the season about the conditions for running backs. Him alongside Austin Eckler of the Chargers, Jonathan Taylor of the Colts, they really got some of their biggest fans upset with them because they were not willing to just be a great running back and let their careers take their toll.
A single issue.
That's going to hurt him. He's not going to have the support of the rest of his team. And if you don't have the support of your rest of the team, you're not going to get elected. Now, at tight end, you mentioned Sam Laporta.
Hold on a second.
So
Josh Jacobs is a single issue candidate, basically, is what you're saying.
Unfortunately, yes. And it's one of those candidacies where he doesn't have his own team support. He's not going to get the support of the mass populace.
Gotcha.
And Sam Laporta is a fresh young face. And I think that maybe 5-10 years down the line, we might look at him and say he's the guy that's going to take over the office when Travis Kelce is finally ready to retire. But as for now, he can't even establish himself as the primary body on his own team. That role obviously goes to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, because of that, he has had multiple games this season where his number of targets and his production have slipped out of the consecutive streaks where he would be capable of garnering enough support to even get the nomination for the position.
Okay.
So much like the American House race, not American House race, the American speakership race over the last couple of weeks, it would be hard to get him out of even the committees to be up for a full body vote.
Okay.
And lastly, you mentioned Stephon Diggs at wide receiver. I think he's going to be the one to take down the speakership because, frankly, there isn't a single player in the entire NFL that doesn't open his mouth nearly as much as Stephon Diggs.
That was a softball, wasn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, it just worked out that way because if he was second, he'd have been on the ballot earlier, and it would have been A.J. Brown instead. But, you know, when I write these down, I usually go quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, right? For some reason, I wrote SOH on my notepad, and the first name I wrote down was Diggs. It was like subliminal that's who, I agree with you. I think Stephon Diggs makes a great Speaker of the House. He speaks up for when he wants to win. He needs the ball. He wants to be the man that does the work to get things done, to get the wins for the people. And I think that he'd have.
And I could see him
support, killing
the two people above him just to achieve higher power.
That is true. That absolutely, he'd throw them under the bus if possible. But I also think that he has the ability to pull votes from multiple markets. He may not have.
He's got the Midwest covered with Minnesota at least. I mean, he was part of the Minneapolis Miracle a couple of years ago.
Oh, you know, you'll see commercials on that.
He can use his brother's support to get the deep Texas roots.
Yeah,
that's a big, huge voting block there. And of course, obviously, he's got the people of Buffalo, and again, any of those Toronto residents to try to sneak down and vote illegally.
You know what he's probably going to do? He is going to get the speakership. He's then going to put a resolution in that he's going to override whatever happens, and he's going to be the one that puts himself in the wide receiver one spot.
And depending, again, when they announce this, I have a strange feeling that if Stephon Diggs wins the speakership outright before the presidential election is called at quarterback, he is going to be out there throwing Josh Allen under the bus, making it much easier for Hurts to take that to him, too.
Wow, can't even work together with his own man. Okay, interesting. Harley, look, I think this was kind of fun. I don't know if our listeners will garner much from it, but it gets tough sometimes during the season trying to figure out what we're going to talk about that's going to have value for the listeners, right? I thought about us trying to do a vote for the top 12, and that's just with two guys, that's hard to do, right? I thought this was fun. Hopefully there was some insight that people picked up on, and you did a fantastic job because I want people to understand. Harley found out about this segment about 5 minutes before we did it. Maybe 10, right? 5 minutes before I said, welcome back to the Blitz podcast. That's how soon he had to do this off the top of his head. So well done, my man. I appreciate it. Now what we need to do is we need to go over to the DFS side of things and hopefully do as well there. So, without further ado...
Well, you know, the key part of election planning and running is raising money. So yes. Now is our opportunity to help our candidates raise some money by playing DFS.
There you go. And for those that don't know, we are going to get into our DFS payups, stayaways, and value plays. Harley will set a line. He and I have not discussed any of this whatsoever. And we'll see if Vegas wins or how it goes. So go ahead, sir. Set the over-under for us this week.
Well, I think Vegas may have won for the last time last week, thanks to abysmal performance by the New York Giants. But as far as Vegas goes with the DFS rankings, we're going to set the number at 5 this week.
I almost feel like I should have the ability to say over, under, or push, but that would be a sellout, right?
Yes.
I'm going to take the over. Bad move, okay. Steve. Bad move. Vegas never goes over. Okay. Start us off. Who are you paying up for? Let's see if we can get out the gate fast.
Quarterback. Actually, it's not a bad position this week. I don't hate a lot of the players up on top.
Yeah.
When that happens, I tend to slide down to the least expensive of the guys that I like the most.
Okay.
And that's where I settled on for my pay-to-play at quarterback this week. And that's Jared Goff on the road, albeit at the Chargers, who we're watching again on Monday Night Football tonight. 6,400 on DraftKings, 8,000 on FanDuel. I really think that both teams, both quarterbacks, will fare well in this game. But Goff is considerably cheaper than Justin Herbert's price. Plus, Goff is going to be coming off of the bye, so he's going to have some time to rest up. His receivers are going to get healthy during the bye period, and they're going to be ready to attack right away. And the Chargers, they're allowing a league worst, coming into tonight's game, I should say, are allowing a league worst 297 passing yards per game. I'm guessing that Zach Wilson is going to have that number go down a little bit, but still, they're nearly 19 yards a game more than the next closest team. So as long as Zach Wilson doesn't completely crap the bed, that number is still going to be the league leader coming into next week.
You know, we have a match. I didn't like going down the board that much dollar-wise, but, I mean, they're not that far off once you get past the top two guys, honestly. So I'm with you. I liked all the points that you had to say. I think it's a great matchup. The only thing that if I would have put a con against it, it said it's on the road. But the fact that he's coming off a bye, and it's still going to be it's not like they're going outdoors, technically. You know what I mean? I think it's a good venue. So, yeah, I like him as the pay-up this week. Who are you staying away from? I have a feeling we're going to match here, too.
I'm going to stay away from the most expensive guy on the board, and that's Lamar Jackson versus Cleveland. Again, I hate to stay away from a guy at home, particularly a divisional game at home. But Jackson has been ceding his short touchdowns that normally he would run in lately to Gus Edwards. And Cleveland, as a team, they've only allowed 8 passing touchdowns all season. So Lamar is going to have to get the ball across the line on the ground more than likely. I feel like he's not getting the opportunities that he usually gives himself, and that equals to a stay away this week, particularly at the highest price on the board.
We match and we agree. I mean, you look at him at 8 and 83. That means you're looking 24 to 25 points just to hit 3 times value. That's his absolute ceiling. I don't think he's going to come close to that. The Cleveland defense is for real. Yes, it is at home. Again, that's one of the pros for him. But at that price, when you can get somebody like Goff for $1,600 less, they are closer on FanDuel at least. But yeah, I think that's a no-brainer to have him as the stay away with the amount of risk that there is in that matchup.
Yeah, you really need him to score 2 touchdowns on the ground to have a chance. And again, he is not getting those touchdowns lately.
And there may be barely 2 touchdowns scored in that game. I mean, this could be a 13-10 type game, honestly.
Yep.
So, all right, value play. Very hard to match at value play, but I had a couple guys I liked. You were probably not going to match because I think I know who you probably would have gone with. But tell me, who's your value play?
I'm going to choose the quarterback going against the team that's allowed the most passing touchdowns this season. They've allowed 12 passing touchdowns over their last 4 games, that being the Washington Commanders. So I'm taking Geno Smith at 5,800 and 6,900 on FanDuel as the clear number one option among the cheaper values at quarterback position.
We have a match, my man. We have a match. I felt a little like I was cheating because he's sub $6,000. He's below Derek Carr. He's barely above Brock Purdy. Kyler Murray, who we don't even know if he's playing yet, right, is above him. I did write two other names.
He has been named the starter if he is capable.
Okay, and what does that mean, right?
In other words, if he comes through the week and he's no worse for wear before kickoff, he will get the start.
Right. So, but I mean, that guy who hasn't played football in how long and coming off a major injury and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah, and he's with a horrible team right now, like he's priced higher, which is shocking. I did write two other names down, though, that I was just like, okay, the matchups aren't bad. I consider them, but no, I'm not going to do it. One was the rookie, Will Levis. I see Levi's every time I see his name. Will Levis. We need to give him a nickname or something. I don't know. What I don't like about the matchup is it's on the road in Tampa. Tampa's coming off of a bad loss, right?
Tampa can blitz with their front seven and give them some trouble there.
Yep, exactly. The other one I looked at, but Arthur Smith effect. I don't really want to go to Taylor Heinicke if I don't have to. And he's $7,000.
His FanDuel price is higher than Geno's.
Yes, exactly. So if you really like Heinicke, then okay, play him on DraftKings instead of Geno. But it's only a $700 savings. I do love the matchup. But again, it's on the road, right? He doesn't have a good tight end to throw to or a good wide receiver or a good running back to use. Oh, no, wait a minute. Never mind. That's right. The coach is the one screwing that up. So I landed on Geno Smith. I thought he was the safest, and honestly, he truly is the epitome of a value, I think, against the rest of the field.
And I think a lot of players are going to be off of him because he's had like two or three mediocre performances in a row.
Yep, exactly. He's definitely not chalk. All right, well, we went gangbusters out the gate, 3 for 3. Vegas is reeling right now. If you know those in-game odds, it just went up to 7 for the over, if anybody wants to get in late. Running back. Who are you paying up for at running back?
I had a little difficulty with the pay-up here at running back. Much like I liked most of the higher-priced quarterbacks this week, I didn't love any of the higher-priced running backs. The one that made the most sense to me, though, is the highest-priced guy. We talked about him earlier, Christian McCaffrey. He's at Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's been pretty good against the run this season, but over their last three games, they've allowed 32 running back receptions and a total yards average of 127 yards per game combo against opposing running backs. So they're trending the wrong way, but those 32 receptions, as we talked about before, McCaffrey beats teams by catching the ball. So in a PPR format, definitely like DraftKings, he's in for a big game. It might not be 3x value on either side, but he's still going to be the top scorer at the end of the week.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville's right there, middle of the pack, if you look at year-to-date stats and points to the running back position. We have another match. We are 4 for 4. I don't know if we've ever gone 4 for 4 to start a week, honestly. I will say I don't like the price. He's coming off a bye, which is what I like. Brock Purdy has seemed human of late, so I think that coming off a bye, you really try to make sure that offense is running through Christian McCaffrey. And I'm not sure
And for all the people in dynasty formats, I'm going to take us away from DFS for a quick second here. Get on whoever has Brock Purdy in your league and buy right now. They are probably starting to sweat it bigger than they should. He's been without Deebo Samuel and without his starting left tackle, a high-end left tackle at that, for the last couple of weeks, coinciding with his recent struggles. He gets those two pieces back, he's going to be in a lot better shape. You'll be happy about now, I think.
There you go. The other guy I wrote down that I kind of like his matchup, but I just, from a pay-up standpoint, I just think all things equal, I'm going to CMC, was Tony Pollard.
Yeah, he's just been so inconsistent this year.
Yep.
And, I mean, to think that he might get the Zeke treatment and get just dumped on his laurels after the season by Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, that's always possible. The Giants are 12th in points allowed to the running back position, but it just wasn't that strong enough of a matchup for me to feel comfortable to say I'm going to play him over CMC. I think that would have just been trying to be cute for being cute's sake, if that makes sense.
I agree.
Who are we staying away from? I think this one's pretty clear, honestly. I think we could go 5 for 5 at this point.
It's Saquon Barkley at Dallas, 7,700 on DraftKings, 7,400 on FanDuel. Over their last three games, Dallas is allowing a league third best 3.2 yards per carry on the ground. They've allowed only one running back touchdown at home this season. Plus, they're going to probably have Tommy DeVito or Matt Barkley under center, which means that Dallas is going to be able to stack the box against Barkley, force them to beat them with Barkley, with the other Barkley or Tommy DeVito, which is not going to happen. Dallas is going to get ahead big. The only way Barkley is going to save any value this week is because he's going to get the volume, and they might have to dump off passes to him because that's all the further that Tommy DeVito can throw the ball. I still don't like it.
Well, you know, we don't match. Our streak ends. I don't like Barkley's matchup for all the reasons you said, but he's 77 and 7,400. There's a guy I like less that's priced higher, and it's Austin Eckler. He is at home, but he's playing a Lions team that's coming off of a bye, and currently the only team that's given up fewer points on average to the running back position this year than the Eagles would be the Detroit Lions. They're 31st in points allowed to the running back position. Coming off a bye.
Now, what Steve doesn't know is he's recording this on Monday night.
Yes.
Literally as Austin Eckler just ran in for a touchdown.
Who did he run, in that touchdown against? Jets.
That was against the Jets.
The Jets rank 8th in fantasy points allowed to the running back position this year. So guess what? I still stand where I am. Austin Eckler is my stay away this week.
That's certainly acceptable. Again, his price is higher than Barkley's.
At value play, I had a couple guys. It's always hard at value play because it's such a wasteland, quite honestly, right?
A lot of the weeks, yes. I mean, if we could fire Arthur Smith, I'd say Bijan Robinson would be a nice value play this week. But
true.
I kind of want to consider Tyler Algier as my value play this week.
Well, for what it's worth, I'll go first. The first name I wrote down was Tyler Algier. Love the matchup, but it's just so risky. Even at that price, you don't know what's going to happen.
You know what's going to happen is if everyone plays Tyler Algier, Arthur Smith will give the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson 20 times.
I was going to say he's going to give the ball to Bijan Robinson 30, but you're right. That's exactly what he'd do. He'd give it to Cordarrelle Patterson. You're right. So I looked at another guy. He's actually a little cheaper. I think he was cheaper. Yep, he's cheaper at both levels. A little closer on DraftKings than FanDuel. Got what I think is a decent matchup. It's on the road. That's what I'm not in love with. But it just seems like Antonio Gibson's price is still a little more depressed than it really should be. In a game where I do think that Washington has to pass the ball. So I think that he gets some nice PPR points. But I kind of like Antonio Gibson as my value play. AJ Dillon's listed right above him, and I'm looking at his name. That's why I said that.
Okay. Well, I mentioned my value play already. Based on my long-standing redraft league, where I continually seem to bench the guy who goes off for 30 points.
Yeah.
I'm benching Najee Harris in that game. So check up Najee Harris at Green Bay as my value play this week. 4,900 on DraftKings, 6,500 on FanDuel. Harris has scored in two of his last three games. And again, I'm benching him, so you should start him as your value play because he's going to go crazy this week.
That 6,500 is crazy. That's just not comparative. But yeah, okay, I get it. I feel you. I do. Wide receiver. Who are you going to pay up for? So we need two more between wide receiver and tight end to hit the over, right? Yes, we do. Who are you paying up for at the wide receiver position? Because I think we're going to get it right here. We're going to hit the push.
I'm going to go with the same guy who was my pay up at wide receiver last week, who actually came through with a big game, and that's C.D. Lamb. He's going to give the Giants this week 8,500 on DraftKings, 8,900 on FanDuel. Every single wide receiver won, with the exception of Devontae Adams this past week with Aiden O'Connell at the quarterback position. Every other wide receiver one has absolutely pasted the Giants this year. And we're talking 17 PPR points plus from every single wide receiver one against them before this weekend. CeeDee Lamb, another huge game incoming.
I do not hate that. I looked at CeeDee Lamb. He is not who I'm picking as my pay up. I actually went with someone that's just about the same. They're right one spot away from him. They have a fantastic matchup. They're facing a team, albeit on the road, that's given up the third most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. Additionally, it's a stack with my pay-up quarterback. Give me Amon-Ra St. Brown. I believe that if he was on any other team and any other different name, he'd be priced much higher to Keenan Allen than he is to Mike Evans.
Yeah, he was actually one I considered. Obviously, they're coming off the bye, so he should be fully healthy coming out of this. But that's the only thing that held him back slightly for me, is that he was dealing with an injury before the bye. So I thought about it. I totally agree with playing him here. In fact, I'd love to have both those guys in my lineup this week.
Yeah. Pay down somewhere else. Get it in. Geno might let that happen. Who are you staying away from?
Now, I'm going to stay away from a guy who's a little banged up, but all signs point to him playing this coming week, and that's Jamar Chase versus Houston. 8,600 on DraftKings, 9,300 on FanDuel. He landed hard on his butt and on his back. He's facing a Houston defense that has allowed only two wide receiver touchdowns all season.
That is why they are 29th in fantasy points allowed to the wide receiver position. That is also why we have now hit the push, and that is why Chase was also my stay away.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. I mean, again, the injury.
I do too.
It looked more like one of those things where it's like some old guy doing a slip and fall, pratfall, and landing on his ass and feeling in pain. Jamar Chase isn't an old guy. He should be able to get up, brush himself off, and be okay. Probably going to be a little stiff, probably have to soak a little bit in the tub. But unlike us old guys who can't afford to get paid to sit in an ice tub all day, he has the time and the money to do that.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, the only teams giving up fewer points to the wide receiver position than Houston, the Browns, the Cowboys, and the Jets. Houston's in
some good company.
Yeah, that is pretty good company. Shockingly, the Raiders are right behind them, and that's probably because of the type of games they play.
No one passes against them.
Exactly. Okay. Always tough to match at the value play wide receiver position. Always tough.
Well, I like to stack my value quarterback and my value receiver, so that's what I'm doing this week. I'm going to go with Jackson Smith and Jigba versus Washington. He's 4,100 on DraftKings, 5,600 on FanDuel. He has four straight solid games, including scoring in two of them. He led the team in receiving last week, despite playing behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Only one team has allowed more wide receiver touchdowns this season than Washington. That was Philadelphia. But Washington has allowed seven wide receiver touchdowns in their last four games, so there'll be touchdowns to be had here. I think DK is a great play, but I think Jackson is also a great play.
So the guy that I wrote down, his name starts with a J also. He didn't make my cut. I crossed him out. But can you guess who that is?
Jahan Dotson.
No. It's a guy that I seem to just, I'm going to keep going to the well until he hits.
Jaden Reed.
No. Jameson Williams was the first one because, you know, I like golf this week already, and I already said I'm paying up for Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's like, well, if I do that, then I'm guaranteed one of those guys got a hit, right? But, like, that's also the reason why I crossed him out. I do like the matchup. I do like the fact that he's $3,400 on DraftKings, which is almost $1,000. It's what, $700 less than Jackson Smith and Jigba is on DraftKings because he's $4,100. But his FanDuel price is $5,400, so it's only $200 cheaper. Believe it or not, the over hits on our value play at wide receiver. I moved on from Tyler Lockett, and I think that the value is right here with JSN.
Yeah, ironically enough, you were talking about the Detroit wide receiver core, and I thought you were going to say you're going to give the value play to the new starting outside receiver, Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Huh, no. Nope. All right, so now it's all great.
Your wife is a Browns fan. She might cheer for that, right?
No. Not going to happen. She's happy they won, but that's about it. She's very conflicted about the whole Deshaun Watson thing, if we're being honest.
Actually performed fairly well in his last couple games too.
Well, she's talking about the whole baggage that came along with him type thing. That she's not, you know, real thrilled about. But if they got to the World Series, my God, I still got baseball in the mind. If they got to the Super Bowl and they won it, she'd be happy. Trust me, she'd be like, oh hey, it was only an accusation. Now I don't know if she'd say that or not, but. Yeah, so she's kind of like conflicted this year for what it's worth. But hey, we're all gravy now as we go into the tight end spot. And there is no Travis Kelce on the ticket this week. So who are you paying up for at the tight end position?
Well, you know, I had written in a guy as my pay up. And then I switched him to my value play and chose a different guy as my pay up.
Okay.
My pay up this week is going to be Sam Laporta. He's not going to win the election for president at tight end this year, but he is growing on me. He's at the Chargers coming into Monday Night Football tonight. The Chargers allowed completions on 25 of their last 26 targets to tight ends. You think that might be over a span of like five or six games? No, that's just in their last two games coming into tonight. 26 targets to the tight end position, 25 catches, 281 yards, and a touchdown in two games.
So I got to ask you, because you said you wrote down a name, crossed it out, and went to Laporta, right? You pivoted to Laporta.
Yes.
I actually wrote down a name and crossed it out and pivoted from Laporta. So I wrote Laporta down first. So who did you write down and cross out?
Well, my value play this week, again, I'll jump to that, is Dalton Schultz at Cincinnati. Cincinnati has allowed the fourth most yards to the tight end position. Plus, they've allowed four tight end touchdowns, which is tied for second. Technically, it's tied for about seventh because there's six teams that have given up five touchdowns, and they've given up four along with four other teams. But they were crushed by George Kittle and the other Dalton Kincaid in back-to-back games over the last 2 weeks. And Schultz is coming off his best game of the season. Oh, plus, he's scored in four of his last five games for Houston.
And that is why Dalton Schultz was my pay-up at the tight end position.
He was my pay-up for a short period there.
So, yeah, we were close. Yeah, so I don't dislike the Laporta call at all, quite honestly. It's a fantastic matchup, as you detailed. But yeah,
25 completions in two games out of 26 targets.
Yeah,
who crazy. Is playing corner or linebacker coverage for them against the tight end?
Well, it's a good thing.
How is that physically possible?
It's a good thing that we hit the over already, because we're not going to match on our value play at this point.
No.
I think we're going to get seven, though, on the stay away. Who are you staying away from?
I'm going to stay away from that independent candidate, Mark Andrews, 6,900 and 7,300. Here's an interesting stat for Mark Andrews. In the earlier game against Cleveland this season, he went for five catches, 80 yards, and two touchdowns.
Yep.
That's pretty damn impressive. However, in the other seven games that Cleveland has played, they have allowed a total of 14 receptions and 75 scoreless yards to the position. Mark Andrews has more total yards against Cleveland than every other tight end in football this year. He's got the only two touchdowns from the tight end position against Cleveland. And he's got one third of all tight end catches against Cleveland this year.
So yeah, look, Cleveland has given up the fewest points to the tight end position by far this year.
It isn't close.
We match. Andrews is who I'm staying away from. Now, I wrote down some different numbers than you. He scored 25 points in that week that he faced Cleveland on 5, 80, and 2. That accounts for 58% of all fantasy points Cleveland allowed to the tight end position so far this year through week 9. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You go, well, he did it once. He could do it again. He has to get two touchdowns to hit his 3x value. Has to.
Yep.
He might go 6 for 75 or 6 for 90 and one. He's not getting 3x value if he does not get two touchdowns. Not willing to bank on that. So he is clearly a stay away for me this week.
Yes.
And you've already given your value play. I honestly thought we had a shot to match on the value play. I'm going with a guy. Let me see how much he is here because I didn't write him down. He's right below the guy that I picked as my value play last week in Cade Otton, who had a pretty good week, didn't he? Speaking of two touchdowns, that was one of the better hits I've had at the tight end position, especially at value play. This week, I'm going with a guy who doesn't catch nearly as many passes, but it seems like all he does is catch touchdowns. Has he caught any tonight? I don't know.
Not yet.
I think he was targeted, though, once in the end zone. I could be wrong. But Donald Parham Jr. is my value play against the Lions team that's given up the fifth most points to the tight end position this year. And you don't need much get value.
With Parham, obviously, he is touchdown dependent, particularly now that Gerald Everett is back healthy. But he's pretty damn reliable as touchdown dependent because half the time he catches the ball, it's a touchdown.
Exactly. And I don't love it. Like, I gladly would play Laporta or Schultz over him. But remember how you were talking about
Another ugly slate at the position. I mean,
yeah,
there's not a lot of value to look for. I mean, maybe, possibly Janu Smith versus Arizona. You've got, I really just don't like any of them. Logan Thomas, Seattle, possibly.
Nope.
Josh Oliver of TJ Hockenson misses the game.
Irv's another name that I wrote down and crossed out. It's not a horrible matchup, and he's cheap enough.
Actually, probably the best matchup is Seattle's going against Washington, because Washington's given up 4 tight end touchdowns over their last 4 games. But good luck choosing which Seattle tight end is going to catch the touchdown. Is it going to be Parkinson? Is it going to be Fant?
Right.
It seems like every week there's someone else catching a touchdown there for them.
It could be Jimmy Graham if they trade him back there. Who knows? Well, it was a big night for the over, my man. 4, 5, 6, 7. We blew it out of the – that's convincing over hit, right?
Exactly.
That's how I think that both Christian McCaffrey and Travis Kelce win their – when their elections going away, like we did there with our overs on the DFS payoff, stayaways, and value plays. And of course, you may have some other questions, whether it be about the election or about different DFS things, etc. Who to start, who not to start, all that kind of wonderful stuff. Feel free to reach out to Harley on the site formerly known as Twitter @NuclearHarley. You can reach out to me @SteveGalloNFL. And of course, we're getting to that point in the season where you really should be using the tools at your disposal with the huddle. So if you don't have a membership, get one. It'll be good for an entire calendar year. It's not just for the season. So you'll give yourself a treat for next year too. But look, Harley, we're getting ready to head towards the stretch towards Thanksgiving, which is double DFS is on the horizon. So with that, I say, until it gets here, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.